know, it's hard to go these days without seeing something on the news that just kind of starts to rattle you in whatever's going on in the world and especially in this nation. Just think about how it would have been for Judah back in the time of Isaiah when they saw Assyria coming through unstopped. Nobody could stop them, what they're doing, and they just have taken the northern kingdom of Israel away into captivity. Now they're coming for you. Could you imagine what that news would look like if it was happening today? How would that headline go? And what would be the reaction of the people? They would start having just all sorts of fears of instability. What is going on? How can we get through this? And that is what in Isaiah 33, if you'll turn there, that's what's happened at that time. In Jerusalem and Judah was at a crossroads. Do they just give in to Syria, give up without a fight? Or do they make an alliance with Egypt and try to fight their way out of this? God sent Isaiah to Judah to tell him, you don't need to do either one of those things. Beginning of verse 5, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is his treasure. Isaiah simply tells them that their salvation is going to come from the Lord, a message that they needed in that day to stabilize them, to give them clarity of thought. Today, we can look around us. As I said, you turn on the news, we see things that would cause us instability all the time. It airs every day. We're bombarded by it. Facebook, the news, everything that we see. Things that have been common throughout all the ages have been sickness and death, natural disasters. But in our times, some of those things can come a lot quicker nowadays. The strategy that we had during the Cold War was mutually assured destruction. If Russia launched their nuclear bombs, ours would launch right after theirs, and everybody would be assured destruction. That was so unstabilizing for just the citizenry to think about. I know we see all the old films from the 50s, and I don't want to disparage that or anything, but just, you know, the ducking under the table when you hear these air raid sirens going off. That's going to do you a lot of good, getting under a desk when there's a nuclear warhead coming in. But still, going through those drills, think about how unstabling that is, even for children at that time, and even today. Today we have those that will come in and try to kidnap them. We saw that a couple of weeks ago with the little girl in Birmingham. It's always been there, but now with media, it's just so much more out there and readily available for your consumption. We see unstableness in politics. Oh, do we ever see that in politics? And it's just amazing these days that how much cyber crime now can destabilize cities with ransomware, counties. I mean, that list just goes on, and how they can come after you and not even know who you are, be thousands of miles away from you, and just able to take everything out of your bank account just like that, one fell swoop. And that's just really unstabilizing to think about. But as Isaiah told Judah, the same applies to us today. We can come through this with wisdom and knowledge, as he says in verse 6. So such wisdom comes from wisdom and knowledge in God. Randy read for us this evening Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 12. In that we see that it can guide us and protect us from the pitfalls of life, from the unrighteousness, from the immoral woman, and how that knowledge can carry us through, that knowledge of God. Turn, if you would, one chapter over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, for they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So again, the Proverbs writer tells us that wisdom and discretion can help comfort us in those times when we see that terror coming. God is very willing to give us all the wisdom and knowledge that we need at the time. James tells us this in James chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. If you lack wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Here James tells us that the Lord is just willing to give it to us if we will ask him in faith. Because if we're not asking him in faith, he says there in verse 8, he's a double-minded man and unstable in his ways. And what are we trying to be? We're trying to be like every chemical compound that's out there. We want to be stable. We don't want to be, you know, able to blow up like dynamite is. We want to be stable in what we do. And this stability, if we do these things, comes through salvation. Again, back in Isaiah 33 and verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be stability in your time, and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is his treasure. That salvation of the Lord, or the strength of salvation, is what we need to look forward to. We know that the Lord will save us. If we know the Lord will save us in eternity, we can better face the adverse circumstances that come up in our lives. Look at Paul. Look at everything that happened to Paul. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Skipping down to verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit of as a guarantee, so that we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul had this very strong hope of what was waiting in eternity. And he expressed that hope here to the Corinthians. Think about how he could have written 2 Timothy with such great hope if that wasn't waiting for him. He tells Timothy, I've run the course, I've finished the race, and there is waiting for me a crown of glory. Such hope with everything that he went through. And Paul is a very good example for us to think about when it comes to stability, because his life was full of instability everywhere he went. So, what are some keys to having that stability? The end of verse 6 of Isaiah 33 tells us the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The New International Version says the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So the fear of the Lord, is this being cowering before God? Is this being fearful of him and frightened of him? No, that's not what the fear means. Fear talks about having a reverence and respect for God. It is essential for us to have wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1. Get back here. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It is the beginning of knowledge, and Proverbs 9 tells us it is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To receive is essential for us to, as well, not only to have this wisdom, but to receive that salvation. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, beginning in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Turn over a few more chapters to chapter 13, verse 26. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to do the word of this salvation has been to you, the word of this salvation has been sent." Here again we see salvation being such an important role, such an important part of being able to bring stability to our life. So why is fear of the Lord necessary? A reverence for God and His righteous judgments is really an effective motivation for us to want to do those things that are right. And it will help us in turn depart from evil when we turn to God, to keep on those things, as Paul did, that were motivating, moving us in the right direction. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge." So when we turn to God, we have that strong refuge around us. We have that protection. And without those things, we would be like those cities in the time of the Old Testament that didn't have those walls. They didn't stand very long against the enemy when they came in. So, those who lack stability in this time, you have the ability to become stable through God. Through an understanding, through wisdom and knowledge of God, through salvation that's been provided through Christ, we can have that stability, knowing that it's not this world that will ever be stable. But it's the hereafter, it's eternity, where we know there's true stability. Right now, to get us through to that point in time, we have to have the hope that Paul did, that there is a stable place that has been prepared for us in heaven. So tonight, if you have not rendered obedience to the gospel, if you don't have that start of that stability here on earth, to be able to face what comes out to us, or what comes at us, then start tonight, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come for us. As we sang in one of the songs that Rex led, it could happen right now in an instant. This could be the last invitation that you hear. So what are you going to do with that invitation? And if there's any among us that have fallen in our walk, let's make that right with God. Let's walk as stably as we can in the knowledge and truth of God. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.